We're on a series right now about salt and light. I want to thank everybody for coming today. You know, you could have went anywhere else, but you chose to come here, and we appreciate that. You know, it's so important as we're kind of gearing up towards Easter, right? Easter's in several weeks, and, you know, we need to be evangelistic, and that's kind of what this series is about, you know, we're doing salt and light, you know, how we're the salt of the world, and also we need to be a light to a lost and dying world. So that's the focus of what we're wanting to do here. And I do appreciate your prayers today. I made a mistake of going to bed too early yesterday. I kind of, I'm going to go to bed early tonight. I went in and started reading about 8:45, 9 o'clock. I went to sleep, and then I woke up at 3. So my day's almost over right now, you know what I mean? But anyway, I think I'll make it through here. So anyway, I appreciate your prayers. You know, have you ever made a meal? I'm batching it for a few days. So have you ever made a meal and it seemed like just something was missing? You know, when you taste it, it just didn't have any taste. It was just tasteless. And you try to add maybe some different spices, you know, and you throw all that in there. And when you do that, it just still doesn't help. And it just seems like there's some missing ingredient. And what it is salt. Sometimes salt is just what we need. Something simple as salt, you know, can make all the difference. And it's like that in life. We, you know, I don't know about you, but I did, but we try so many different things in life to try to find fulfillment. You know, so we put all these things, you know, inside of us, and we try to think that's going to maybe make us happier, get us to where we think we need to be. But, you know, what happened for me, and I think it probably is with most of you, that no matter what we've tried, no matter what we've done, we found out there's something that's still missing. That simple ingredient, and what that is Jesus Christ. You know, be able to have Jesus Christ in our life and how important that is. You know, Matthew 5, chapter 13, or verse 13 to 16, it says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world, a city on a hill which cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And if it gives light to all who are in the house, and we're to let our light so shine before men in such a way that they may see our good works and then also glorify our Father who is in heaven." Please join me in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. Your word that transforms us and makes us into the people you want to be, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for that life-changing power. The Bible says that your word is like a hammer that breaks the rock. And, Lord, just break up the hardness of heart in our lives, Lord. Anything that keeps us away from you. Lord, I thank you so much for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. I yield to the gift that you've put inside my life. And, Lord, I want to use it for your glory and pray for words that both pierce and penetrate in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as we look at this, the first point I want to see is the idea. And we're going to stick with salt today, and next week we're going to look at light. You know, salt gives taste. Salt gives taste. Now, I really feel that Jesus gives flavor to our life. You know, I've been saved a long time, so sometimes it's hard to remember way back then in the bad old days. I call them the bad old days. Some call them the good old days, but for me, they were the bad old days. The bad old days is when I was separated from Christ, is when I was on my own. I was trying to make it my way and do it my way. But yet, I found that there was always something missing deep down inside of me. And what I found is, you know, when I came to Jesus Christ, is the fact that, you know, he gave flavor to my life. And, you know, salt gives flavor and brings out the flavor in other things. You know, in our culture, salt has a bad rap, right? Now, granted, I know they put sodium in a lot of the canned foods and all these things, and, you know, we're warned to get salt, but, I mean, the Bible talks about salt's good for us in some things. Have you ever seen those guys, you know, when they're going to cook a steak, and it's a very expensive cut of steak, and, well, any kind of steak, and they take a bunch of salt. I mean, we're talking salt now, big even rock salt, and they rub it into the steak, and then they turn it over, and they do it again. I mean, it's just unreal, and you just think, man, you know, if the steak ain't going to kill you, the salt will. You know what I'm saying? You know, something's going to get you right there. But, you know, it's not totally true. Because what that salt does, it goes in there and it breaks down certain things in the meat. And it really kind of sometimes releases the flavor. Releases that flavor in our life. And see, Jesus doesn't just affect our spiritual life, but I think he flows over into all areas of our life. All the other areas of our life, if we let him do that. Sometimes we don't let him do that. Some people try to, you know, compartmentalize everything. You know, I got my Sunday Jesus, and then I got my Monday through Friday Jesus. The Sunday Jesus, you know, I'm hopping and shouting, you know, raising my hands and, you know, trying to clap in rhythm and swaying back and forth. But then when I get my Monday through Friday Jesus, that's a little different. Well, it shouldn't be that way. You know, the reality of Jesus Christ and what he makes in our life, it's really a lifestyle. It's not just a one-time experience when we come and surrender our life to Christ. And, you know, I thought, you know, when I was kind of coming to it before, all I had was a dose of religion, understanding what religion was about. I've watched religious people. I was around religious people growing up on how, you know, they acted one way one time and another way a different time. And so that affected my view of Christianity. I didn't have, you know, as far, I looked at it as man-made religion, I'll be honest with you. You know, I never really had a dose of the real thing until later on in my life. But just the power, you know, of Jesus Christ when we get the real thing. See, some people don't like their job. Hope everybody loves their job. Hope it's a career for you, you know, that you enjoy being there. But, you know, to me, Jesus can make a bad or boring job tasteful when you choose to do it for him. You know, when you're laboring for him. You know, you're not just doing it for your boss, your little b, but you're doing it for the big boss. Amen? You know, Jesus Christ. I'm serving Jesus. So, you know, as I do this, I'm doing it as unto the Lord. And then people around me are watching me and they're seeing me do these things. And you know, yeah, a lot of them, you know, they don't want to be there. They don't like being there. They don't like their little boss or, you know, and all that stuff. But, you know, just by keeping the good attitude and doing that, then we can make an impact, you know, on them and say, well, what's different about you? What's different about the way you do things? And that's because I brought Jesus Christ. He brought flavor to my life. And I want to follow him with all my life. So when we see our job as working for Jesus, you know, I think we can do it with a better attitude. And we have a better attitude. We're a better witness. You know what I'm saying? You know, why are you here? I mean, not here in this building right now. But why are you here on this planet? Anybody ever figured that one out yet? Suck in air. Eat. Hobbies. Raise your family. Those are all things we do. But see, you know, if we would have, you know, to me it would have been easier if we'd have just got saved and then Jesus took us to heaven, wouldn't have time to mess up, right? But Jesus left us here for a reason. You know, you're not here by accident, you're here on purpose. Amen. You got to see that. You know, you're here on purpose. And God has given purpose to each and every Christian, and we need to follow that purpose, whatever that is. And we all have the same purpose, and we're supposed to be a salt and a light. We're supposed to make a difference in other people's lives. And as we do that, we win more people and we snatch them away from the devil. I don't know about you, but I don't really care for the devil. No. You know, Satan's done a lot of bad things to a lot of people. And the main thing he wants to do is try to deceive us and get us to follow him and try to follow in his ways so that we don't come to Christ. But see, the thing is, Jesus wants us to surrender to him and start to live for him. And that's, I mean, you don't have to 24-hour a day, 7 days a week, you know, just cram Jesus down people's throat. That's not what I'm talking about. Some people do that. I'm talking about just getting a lifestyle, you know, being able to be free in him and to be a good witness for him. Because Jesus gives that flavor to our lives, and he's done that, we can appreciate other things. See, when we achieve spiritual satisfaction, it overflows into the rest of our life. You know, spiritual satisfaction. Because we were created in the image of God. God is a spirit, and we were created in his image. And then Adam and Eve threw it all away, and there became that separation between us and God. Okay? Well, Jesus Christ came, and he took that barrier away. All we have to do is believe. And see, when we get satisfied spiritually on the inside, it's going to affect us in a lot of different areas of our life. You know, granted, we need to see, you got your spirit, soul, and body, and, you know, you got your spirit, and it needs to kind of, you know, flow over into our soul because we're wounded, right? We're hurting. You know, we've all been through some things. We've been stabbed in the back. We've been, you know, maybe, you know, shot in the foot, shot ourselves in the foot. Yeah, you know, you ever done that? You know, we've done some things. But see, the key is that we know that Jesus Christ came to heal us. And when we get that spiritual satisfaction, when we step into the center of his will, I know it used to, you know, drive my family crazy. But before I became a pastor, you know, I was an evangelist for a while. I did some missionary work, but yet I wasn't totally in the sweet spot. You know what I mean by being in the sweet spot? And I would just pace around the house. I would just pace. You know, sometimes maybe talking to myself or talking to God. I don't know. But I knew I wasn't exactly where I needed to be. I was somewhat spiritually satisfied, but I wasn't totally spiritually satisfied. But finally, when I yielded to the call, this was the last thing I wanted to do. Not the last thing, maybe second to the last. You know, but, you know, I didn't really want to stay in one place at one time. I kind of like going out and doing things, you know, and you know, preaching the gospel in different places, blow in, blow up, and blow out, right? That kind of thing. But yet God knew he had a different plan for me. And he was waiting for me to yield to that plan. But when I did, then all of a sudden things started to come together. I'm not saying every day's perfect all the time, but you guys are great. You guys are a great people to pastor. I just love it. So easy. I mean, all the pastors get together and they start belly aching and boo-hooing, you know, about their congregation. I don't do that. I got great people, you know, and I'm so excited about it, but I'm where God wants me to be right now. And that's what we need to do, is try to find that spot. And, you know, I want to be a light for Jesus. I want to draw people to him. I don't want to repel them and push them away. See, if we have the wrong perspective, you know, if we just focus on what we want, you know, then we're going to miss out. But when we start to focus on what we believe God is wanting us to do, when we hook arms with, you know, people of like precious faith, and we start to work together, and we start to do things for God, then that purpose becomes stronger, and we're there to encourage each other and lift each other up when we fall. Amen. And see, that's what being a part of a church is all about. You know, I people who don't want to attend church and get connected with other people, I kind of feel sorry for them, because they're out there on their own. They think they're doing it, and, you know, granted, you don't need a church to be saved, but Jesus says when you get saved, you need to be part of a church. Amen. And there's a reason for that, because we need each other. We lift each other up, and we help each other through them hard places. You know, I was thinking the other day, you know, somebody passed away, and, you know, when they die, sometimes there's nothing you can say, right? What can you say that's going to help somebody when they lost someone and they love so much? You know, as a pastor, I'm supposed to. All I can say is that I'll walk with you through that valley of death. I'll be with you. I'm on your side. You're not alone. And see, that's what people need. We need to know that somebody is there so they won't be alone in their hardest times. Thank you. Amen? Thank you. And you don't have to be a pastor to do that. We can each do that as a believer. To be there, you know, when somebody is going through the, you know, the valley, the shadow of death, you know. But what I found is the idea that Jesus, you know, gives purpose, and life with purpose is rewarding. The most rewarding thing we can ever do is to live our life with purpose of what we're wanting to do to make a difference in this world. You know, I don't want to live my life and have something fancy put on my tombstone. You know, I want to live a life that's going to bring so many people into the kingdom of God that when I get to heaven, I can say, hey, there's my group right there. Praise God. Amen. You know, because somebody did it for me. You know, I don't know about you, but I wasn't born a Christian. See, God has no grandchildren. He only has children. Just because your mom is saved don't mean you're saved. Right? You know, I've talked to a lot of people, and when they feel uncomfortable talking about Jesus, and they say, you know what, well, my grandma, she was a very, very spiritual person. I said, praise God. How about you? Right? You know, grandma can't get you in heaven. I mean, I'm sure she's, you know, if you look back, she's probably praying for you, and those prayers will be answered. I mean, hopefully. You know, but no prayer that's said ever just, you know, when the person dies, the prayer is still going. You know what I'm saying? They're praying that you come through and yield to Jesus Christ. See, once we get a taste of the Lord, I mean the real thing, we want more. Because in my opinion, Jesus is addictive. He's addictive. Once you get really the real Jesus. You know, getting to know him and the fact that he comes into our heart and just how he touches us sometimes and brings us through, you know, some things and wants to reveal to us some things that he wants us to see and the power, you know, that he has, because, you know, some things sometimes the Lord can only satisfy. He's the only thing that'll satisfy us. You know, you can, you know, eat a bunch of cookies, you know what I mean? Eat some ice cream. You know you want something, right? I don't know about you, but we got this thing in our kitchen. It's where all the stuff's in the pantry. And you walk by that thing, you open it up, and, oh, man, I don't know if I really want that. That don't look good. You know, and how many's ever ate ice cream and you regret it right at the end? You know what I'm saying? I have. I mean, I'm sitting there, and, I'm going to have ice cream. You know, I think that'll make me feel good. You know, then you get done to the last bite, and you just go, man, I'll never get that back. You know what I'm saying? It's just a big mistake. But I'll tell you what, it's when in those times, I've just learned over experience that sometimes I just got to, you know, maybe turn the TV off for a little bit and, you know, just spend a little time with Jesus, you know, and that satisfaction, that's really what I needed. You know, I love coming home, you know, maybe sometime from work or doing something, and I pull in my truck and the sun's just beating down on me in my, you know, and I just sit there in that warm little place and I don't go in the house. I just sat there. And I don't know if the neighbors, I mean, I don't care what they say anyway. But I just sat there with Jesus, you know. Before I go into the house, this time, it just is sacred. You know, one time my wife caught me, you know, and she says, why don't you come in the house and be with us? You know, I'm with Jesus right now, you know. And she thought, I don't know, that I didn't want to be with the family. It wasn't that. That was just the time, 5 minutes, 4 minutes. I mean, just a few minutes. And just kind of gets my world right before I go back in. You know, granted, all my kids are grown up now, so I don't have to do that so much. But, you know, that was sometimes really what we need. And, you know, we need to hunger and thirst for his righteousness, and that helps other people. And that brings me to my next point, is that salt creates thirst. You know, if you eat something salty, sometimes you get thirsty, right? You need something to drink, and you need to, you know, wash that down. And, you know, I think, you know, when Jesus says we're the salt of the earth, you know, I believe we need to live a life that makes people thirsty for God. Make people thirsty for God. You know, to me, it's our faith that makes us salty. You know what I mean? It's our faith in Jesus Christ, and we get real salty. And I remember years ago, this little old lady, and she wasn't a part of our church, but, you know, I knew her, and sometimes we would bump into each other at prayer meetings, and just a little bitty thing. I mean, she'd, you know, just nothing. But that little lady is a prayer warrior. She was salty. I mean, when you talk to her, man, she knew Jesus. You know, and, you know, it was just so powerful and so encouraging to be able to talk to her. And, you know, I remember, you know, just thinking, you know, some people, when they look at somebody that's old, and you just think, you know, their life's over. There's nothing left for her. But I know that she made the devil nervous. And that was her purpose. She may not physically be able to go out and do all the things she used to do, but she could get on her knees. And she prayed. And she prayed for the souls of people. Amen. That they would be saved. Amen. And let God, you know, come into their life. And how powerful it is. You know, we need that. See, people will only want what we have if we let the joy of the Lord shine through. You know, Christianity should not be a dill pickle religion, you know what I mean? All puckered up, you know, eating them dill pickles and look like, you know, you just got to stay in a row and you can't really, you know, have any fun at all. I mean, I wouldn't want to be that. That's what kept me out of church for a long time, that and the backstabbing. You know what I mean? I mean, I was a sinner. And, you know, I'd hear the backstabbing, you know, so-and-so did this and talking about each other. I mean, so why would I want to be a part of that? Because I knew I was less perfect than them other people. No telling what they would have said about me. You know what I mean? So I stayed out of that. But, you know, I saw a lot of people, and, you know, they went to church, and, you know, you can't step over this line and do that. But see, you know, people, we need to let the joy of the Lord. See, it's the joy of the Lord that's our strength. That's what comes through us. That's what shines through when we show how much we love Jesus. And, you know, and when you start to get into the flow and the walk with God, you know, like I always say, Jesus loves you just the way that you are, right? Just think about what you know, just think about yourself. I mean, we're not perfect, are we? But Jesus loves you just as you are. But he also, Jesus loves you enough not to leave you that way, right? Just like the woman who was caught with adultery, you know, she had grace and then she had forgiveness. But then Jesus says, go and sin no more. So there's a thing that when we start to walk with God, we start to shed the load. You know what I'm saying? All those things that kind of hold us back, you know, things that God says we shouldn't be a part of, you know, and there are some. But the thing is, we grow into that. We grow into that power of allowing Jesus Christ, you know, to come in. And to me, holiness is something that we grow into. And holiness is a word. And some people, it scares them, that word, holiness, what it means, because you get them pictures of, you know, different things, you know, maybe whatever could fly through your mind. But to me, holiness is not boring, because the closer, the more centered, you know, just like, you know, if you're driving down the road, you know, and I've shared this before, you know, a lot of times I'd spend time in one ditch, you know, and then if I'd overcorrect, I'd go in the other one, you know. Had some very wild times driving home in the evenings when I was young. But, you know, you want to stay on the center of the road. And see, and when we stay where Jesus wants us and get into that center spot, you know, it's a place where we really start to experience his presence. Because here's what the thing was for me. When people explain Christianity to me before I got saved, you know, way back in the day, is that they said, you can't really do this and you can't really do that. And all I could think about is, I really like to do this and I really like to do that. So if I can't do that no more, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What's going to help me to experience the things that I wanted in life? But here's what I found out, is that when I started to let go of some of those things, what replaced it was the presence of the Lord. And in the presence of the Lord, there's what? Fullness of joy. So as we let go of things, see, that's something I couldn't understand. That's found in Psalms 16, verse 11. Now, the next thing I want to look at is the idea of salt as a preservative. And this is I still don't understand this totally, you know, in some ways. Because I was growing up as a little kid, and, you know, I remember my mom's parents and grandpa, they always would kind of talk, really my dad's too, but they'd talk about how you would take a ham and you'd salt it, and that would help preserve it and keep it. You know, and it's just kind of hard to understand, because if you have food today, see, we have refrigerators, so we look at food a little bit different now. You know what I mean? I if something's in the refrigerator for 3 or 4 days, you know, maybe some meat, some people get a little nervous about that. You know what I'm saying? Does anybody? I don't know. I mean, well, maybe I shouldn't eat that now. You know, I don't know, because we're worried about decay, bacteria. You know what that can do? What could do to our tummy? But see, before refrigerators, you know, there's a couple ways you can preserve your meat. Some people smoke it. I watched a little video on that, but with that, it looked like you had to cut the meat real small and you hang it over this thing and let the smoke come up on it. But I'm talking, you know, that'd take a lot of meat to satisfy. But a lot of people used to salt it. And they would put that salt and they just rub it all over, let's say the ham or whatever. And what it did is that salt would draw the water out. And when there was no water, there's no place for the bacteria to grow. And see, that's what we're supposed to be in this world. We as Christians are salt. We're supposed to be able to stand, walk righteously before God. And, you know, when we get rubbed into this world and we start to, you know, go into the world, because, you know, just as salt is the enemy of decay, we as Christians need to be the enemy of moral decay in our culture. So they would rub this salt on that meat and it would draw that water out, and you could just take that on a trip. You know, hop on your horse or whatever and good to go. Wouldn't spoil on you. I mean, you can't do that with unless we do that. Like if we just, you know, take a, you know, go grab some, you know, meat at the store and just head off for maybe a, you know, 2-day drive. I mean, you open that package up, what do you got? You got mold and decay. But see, salt makes the difference. And see, you make the difference in this world. God has given you here for a purpose. You are to stand against moral decay in our culture. You are to make that stand and let people see how good our God is. And that when we live that life for Him, then we can start to see change, life change. And see, when the world tells us to shut up, that's when we need to speak louder. See, that's what the devil's going to do, and that's what the world's going to do. They try to get us to shut up. They try to get us to keep our mouth shut and not talk about it. But, you know, we ought to understand that salt penetrates what it touches, and we are the salt of the earth, and we need to penetrate this society. We need to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Not only that, we need to go all the world and live the gospel. It's hard to preach the gospel if we won't live the gospel. Amen? You know, and how that all ties together. So we need to be an influencer, and salt was also, just a side thought, was used to treat wounds back in the early wars. And we need to be a moral antiseptic, you know, and to be able to stop that hurting. Our life needs to bring healing to people. Now, last I want to look here, the idea of tasteless salt. Tasteless salt. Now, we don't know really what that is. We go to the store and whatever salt you may like, you know, you got your, you know, iodized salt, the white stuff we're all used to. And, you know, I bought some of that, anybody bought some of that pink Himalayan salt? You know, I thought that was kind of healthy salt. You know, I don't know. Anyway, I use that sometimes too. You know, but back in the day when they harvested salt, you know, if you get it from the ocean and, you know, evaporation, then the salt comes. But this was talking about over in Israel, that by the Dead Sea and different things, you know, which was a salt sea, you know, that there was little pockets of salt out in the dirt. And they would go and they would dig the salt, but also sometimes mixed in the salt was other minerals. And it would kind of influence the salt and take its taste away. And see, that's what the world does to you and I. If we're not careful, if we allow ourselves to be influenced by this world, we start to lose our saltiness. When we try to be like the world, you know, nobody likes to, you know, stand out. Usually people try to blend in and, you know, peer group pressure and all that. But we as Christians need to stand against that. See, when salt that has lost its taste is like a Christian who has made peace with the world to avoid persecution have lost their purpose. We cannot make peace with this world. I'm not talking to be obnoxious and, you know, be all mean. But we can't make peace with this world system, because it's dominated by the devil. The Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. So we can't make peace with this world. You know, we need to be different and stand out, because the danger is carnal Christianity does more harm to the kingdom of God than the devil does. Now, granted, I know the devil's behind it. But Christians who wear Christian t-shirts but don't act like Christians, they're doing some damage. That's carnal Christianity. You know, when we do those things. Now, I know everybody stumbles. Hey, I get that. We all make mistakes. But, you know, it shouldn't be our purpose in life to make excuses for our behavior, right? You know, we don't need to wake up, you know, and make those assumptions, you know, that we're going to do that. We need to allow Jesus Christ to come in and be the influencer, because salt's only purpose is to influence whatever it touches. And that's why we're here, people. That's why we're here today. That's why we're here on this planet, to influence those around us. And people need to see Jesus in his followers, so they want to become followers too. I remember people in my life that finally, you know, got me out of one ditch or the other. You know, I was always in a ditch, you know. But some people came and they started to love me. They were Christians. They were part of a church. And they started to tell me about the life of Christ. And I was not living that life at that time. Matter of fact, that was so foreign to me. But they made a difference, and I watched them, and I watched how they lived. And it just seemed like, it just amazed me. They could have fun without having to add supplements. You know what I mean? I always thought I had to add supplements to my life to have fun. You know? And when I met these people, I could see, you know, they were genuine, and somehow I just found, you know, if they can do it, I can do it, right? And you know, and that's how we need to see when we're reaching out people. We need to encourage them. See, there's always room for one more at the table of God. You know, I remember years ago, way when we had the little building over there, where Jimmy and Sarah had lived, then Christian lived, now somebody else's. Bought it after them, but you know, it's such a small little building, and you know, you could hardly, everybody here probably would not have fit into it. And you know, we were wanting to grow, you know, and you know, some of the people say, oh, we don't want to grow. I go, what? No, I just like it just with us, you know. I go, what? Yeah, you know, what are you saying? We have to grow. There's always room for one more, right?
Amen.
When I pick the kids up on the church van, I say, sorry, kids, we've got to get one more on, you know? And you, no, we don't, there's no room for no more. I says, yes, there's always room for one more. One more. And, you know, we need to have that attitude that maybe somebody is going to come and they're going to set where we like to set. Let them have it.
Amen.
Except for my spot right there, right? I got to be right there. No. But, you know, we need to be able to make, and it's only fair that we share. You know, some way, like I say, somebody shared Jesus with us, and we need to do so for the same for others. In closing, Romans chapter 10, verse 14, we usually use this for missionaries and stuff, but technically, in my opinion, we're each a missionary to our own communities, to our own neighborhoods, to our own jobs, where you work, the people that you're around, you know, the influence you can have. It says, how will they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? Well, we're all preachers. We're all preachers. The Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. You know, and the fact of the matter is that, you know, as we live our life, we live a holy life, you know, we want to try to bring glory to God, and all that stuff is very important. But there comes a time when you got to talk about it. You know, there's a lot of people that are good people that are going to hell. Right? The Bible says you must be born again. It doesn't say you have to be a good person to get to heaven. No. There is no good person because, you know, all our righteousness is like filthy rags. So there comes a time in our life when we have to tell somebody why we're acting the way we do. And I encourage you to have boldness. That should be one of your goals, is that you want to try to share your faith with someone. Amen. What Jesus Christ has done for you. Thank like I say, you don't have to know the whole Bible, just know Jesus.
Thank you.
You know, and as you do that, you know, I just think, if each person here today would reach one person, what would that look like? What would that look like? That's my goal.
Amen.
We need to reproduce ourselves. We need to, you know, go out and, you know, bring people in. You know, the old saying, if you build it, they will come. Nah. Been there, did that. Didn't buy the t-shirt because it didn't work. You know? The Bible says, go into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. We have to go get people. And that's what it's about. See, there comes a time when we as Christians should be doing what Jesus said and what Jesus said we should be doing, and that time is now. I believe the things that are taking place in our nation, where people are starting to think about spiritual things again, you know, God is starting to touch and His Spirit is starting to move. And I'm not going to go into this. I'm really trying to quit right now. But the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, they had to follow God. through the desert. Because only if you followed God would you get the manna, the food to eat, and you'd get the protection. You know, God came at night as a pillar of fire. God came in the day as a cloud to shield them from the heat. The Bible says, though, that stayed with him, their shoes never wore out or their clothes didn't wear out. I mean, it was a pretty good gig going on, you know. But they only do one thing. Follow God. It could be 2 a.m. and the fire starts to go. What do? Oh, I'll catch up in the morning, Lord. You missed your manna. You had to pack up your tent and follow. Same thing in the day. God may park somewhere for a while. But see, the thing he's trying to teach him to do is to follow him, and that's what you and I need to do. Amen. Every day we need to follow him. God, what do you want me to do today? God, what do you want? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? Just start your day like that. You may not have anything to do. Might be an easy day. But just set the tone. Set the direction that you want to do. I want to be used by you today, God. And if we start right there, people, we're in for a great ride. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we honor you today. We thank you, Lord, for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. We bind up the devil for trying to steal any words out of our heart. Lord, we know we're called to be a witness to a lost and dying world, and our salt cannot lose its flavor. Lord, help us to keep all the impurities out of this world, Lord, that try to come in and make us tasteless, that try to destroy our witness. But Lord, we know the first step, the first thing that we need to do is, number one, we need to surrender our life to Christ. Like I said, God does not have any grandchildren. He only has children. That means we each individually, personally, need to yield our life to him, to ask him to come into our life. If you're today, I want to give you an opportunity. If maybe you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life, you say, yes, I feel the Holy Spirit touching my heart. I want to do that today. Or maybe I have done it in the past and I know I need to come back. You know, maybe I've done my own thing for a little bit and I know that I've messed up and I just want to say, God, here I am. I just give it all back to you. Whether first time or reconsecration, stick up your hand. I'd like to pray with you if you'd like to do that today. I don't want anybody leaving this place not knowing for sure. I want to give you that opportunity. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. If you're here today also, you know you need to be a better witness for Christ. With every head bowed and eye closed, you know that, you know, you need to, maybe you're afraid and you just need boldness. Whatever the case may be, just lift up your hand and put it down. We're going to pray right now. Father God, I thank you right now in Jesus' name, by the power of your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that the righteous are as bold as a lion. I thank you, Lord, we will not fear. I thank you, Lord, that you put words in our mouth, things that we need to say. Oh, Lord, we want to be a soul winner. We want to reach people for you. Lord, I ask you just to move mightily right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, thank you for purpose in our lives. That, Lord, we don't have to impress anybody other than you. And Lord, we just love you so much in Jesus' name. Amen.